Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Goff did go to a Super Bowl. A mobile Jared Goff did go. A mobile Matt Stafford won one.
There might be 8 to 10 quarterbacks in the NFL that you would label as not mobile quarterbacks.
They might all be more mobile than Goff.
Yeah, Goff might be the most immobile quarterback in the NFL. But out of those quarterbacks that aren't all that mobile, boy, there's a lot of guys that have played for Super Bowls and won Super Bowls.
Yep.
Goff has played for a Super Bowl. Stafford's won one. Joe Flacco's won it. Aaron Rodgers has won it. You know, just breezing through it.
And again, you could say all these guys are more mobile than Goff, but whatever. I'm not. He's got a criteria. It doesn't fit what the Lions have. He doesn't think they have a chance. Okay.
It's a skill set that has certainly changed. I don't think he's, like I, when I said, he might be a dinosaur. He might be one of the last of these guys that you draft. And Michael Penix might be that now with the Falcons. Drafting quarterbacks, I mean, everything's changed in college. Things have changed in high school. You don't see the pure pocket passer as much as you used to.
Let's go to Zach in Ann Arbor on 97.1. Hi, Zach.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Good. You know, I think from listening this morning and over the last few days, the thing that's been most disappointing is hearing how soft our fans are. listen, there's a dose of reality that I think we all had to take on Sunday, which is we might not be where we were, clearly. But I think one thing that is very disappointing is this idea that, you know, someone comes on and says that we can't win with Goff. What did Goff do wrong? 31 out of 39, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, a lot of check down, but he was also dealing with a non-existent front line. It wasn't there. O-line wasn't there.
They had a rough game. There's no question they had a rough game.
It was a terrible game. And I think that's the other thing is we don't have to live in these, like, in such a dichotomy of, like, they're perfect, they're the worst. They had a bad game.
Don't you understand how this works anymore, Zach? Don't you understand that there are two things, they're perfect or they are the worst, and there is no subtlety, there's no nuance, there's nothing in between, Zach. You know who's a dinosaur? You know who's dinosaurs? Goff isn't the only dinosaur. I think we're a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Gator, are we a dinosaur? Because we don't think that everything is perfect or everything is terrible at all times.
Yes. I think another way, here's a game that's going to be interesting, and it's the Thursday night game. The Packers are hosting the Commanders. All right? So the Packers defense just destroyed the Lions offensive line, right? And they got to Jared Goff. They sacked him 4 times. How is that Packers defense going to corral Jaden Daniels? You know, now that people are going to, I bet you this is going to be billed as this could be an NFC championship game matchup here, the Packers and Commanders. I mean, that's what I want to see. Week 1 to week 2, are the Packers this formidable or not? And are the Commanders? I mean, they have two really good teams going at it. It's a different type of quarterback altogether that Green Bay is going to have to face.
I'll say this. Michael Parsons doesn't do well with mobile quarterbacks. He just historically hasn't.
I don't know. Michael Parsons is outstanding. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to nitpick on, you know,
but
games played in dome stadiums on alternate Thursday nights and losing. I don't, who cares?
I mean, Goff has his limitations, but again, not everything is perfect. When he's put in the right situation, and he's been put in the right situation here, they built it a certain way. Now, did that foundation spring a leak when Ragnow retired? It might have. It might have sprung a huge leak that they got to figure out how to fill. And it might not be with this configuration up front. But I would suspect that Mahogany and Ratledge in particular have a chance to get much better as this year goes on. And if they need to shuffle guys around, then they can shuffle guys around and come up with a better combination. There's one player that's lurking that intrigues me quite a bit. And that's whether or not Giovanni Manu can play guard. And if he can, and maybe you shuffle Ratledge to center. They put some faith in Manu when they drafted him. Mm-hmm. They kept him off, you know, kept him from being exposed to waivers all of last year by having him as a healthy scratch all season long.
They traded up to get him.
Yep. And we saw this fail pretty bad with Broderick Martin. It didn't work under similar circumstances on the D-line where they traded up to get a guy that everyone's like, who? And now they did it with Manu. And so just because it didn't work with Martin doesn't mean it's not going to work with Manu. But I'm intrigued by him. Sean in Farmington's next. Hello, Sean.
What's up, boys? How you doing?
Okay, Sean.
Good. Just a couple of points. In the earlier call, you guys were talking about not having enough time. Interesting enough, Jared Goff, according to a stat I saw on X, was that he had the third longest time to sit in the pocket and make a throw. I think that
tell me who reported that?
I can't recall who it was, but it was on there, and it said he had the third. It went Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and then it went Jared Goff. Now, I think for sure our interior line needs the reps to get themselves established and get themselves figured out. But ultimately, like, no doubt about it, it all comes down to Goff. I love the guy, but, like, he really needs to put the team on his back. Sometimes, yeah, the run it's not going to be there. You know, the interior line and the outside line of the Packers showed that they're pretty dominant.
I just looked it up.
Yeah.
Jared Goff was indeed third in time to throw in the NFL in 2024.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you sure a stat for last year?
Maybe it was. That's just what I had noticed after the game, and that's what was kind of like disappointing to hear.
I guess if you could find it, I'd like to see if it was reported for this year. I would find it hard to believe, but he was third in the NFL last year, which leads me to believe that it's possible you saw something posted about last year. Do you think it's likely he had the third most time to throw?
In the game on Sunday?
Yeah.
No. Not by my eyes. No.
248-539-9797. Isaac and Royal Oak. Hello, Isaac.
There is zero chance he had the third most time. I mean, I watched the game, right? He was running for his life. It's one game. They won 15 games last year. That guy that called earlier is just a negative Nancy. He didn't have a chance to call in all last year. That's the same guy that they're going to win the Super Bowl, and he's going to tell you that they got to get tougher on the blue line, Gator. Like, it doesn't matter what happens. He's always going to say Goff needs to be able to run.
Yep.
And that, like, it did not look good Sunday. And I thought the defense held up well, but which came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, did we struggle offensively because the offensive line just had a bad day? Or was it the play calling? Because the offense did not look good. That was not what we had last year. Besides the offensive line, the positions are basically the same, right? So I think I'm going to choose to be positive. I think after they get more snaps, more live fire, the offensive line is going to play better. I hope that's one of the worst games they have the entire season. I still think we are making the playoffs and winning the division. And I refuse to believe that Ben Johnson was the reason we went 15-2 last year. I don't think that Morton is going to be as good. Maybe he will. But what does give me some peace of mind is Dan Campbell has shown us he's not a square peg, round hole guy. If it's not working, we're moving on. You know what I mean? So if that means the offensive line gets shuffled or Morton's no longer there, they don't they don't stick around with bad decisions for too long, and I think that's a lot different than what we've had in the past. So,
well, I do agree with that, and there's you have to be able to pull the trigger. Dan Campbell's pulled the trigger, and if he deems it necessary, he will do it.
I don't think the problems on Sunday were the result of play calling from the offensive coordinator at all. I think the problem were a result of missed assignments and guys in the offensive line and blocking schemes not knowing what that assignment was or thinking it was one thing and it was clearly another. That's what I think the problems were on Sunday.
97-1, the ticket.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.